This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. In 1994, the number of farmers markets in the U.S. was 1,755. Today, according to the Department of Agriculture, that number is hovering around 9,000. Apparently, consumers are finding something they like at these little gatherings where local produce is provided and sold by local farmers. My small West Virginia town of Berkeley Springs is eagerly riding that wave of popularity. Each Sunday, from 10 to 2, the street fronting the courthouse is sealed off, and colorful booths overflowing with various fruits and vegetables appear to entice shoppers with good deals on good foods fresh from the farm. I decided to take my recorder to the market and talk with a few movers and shakers who know a thing or two about raising healthy foods and presenting them to very supportive customers. Come along, won't you? On this particular day, we're greeted by the music of an Arabic oud being played by an enthusiastic and talented musician. It certainly adds a festive flair to this bright Sunday morning. First stop today is a booth run by an organization called Farm of Peace, hailing from nearby Warfersburg, Pennsylvania. Here to guide customers with their selections is Ricky Connolly. Ricky, simple question for you. Why are you here?
I'm here today to provide the public with some really good organic produce.
Why is that important to you?
It's important because it's good food. It's grown with lots of love, and it's chemical-free, and it's healthy for people.
You say it's grown with lots of love. How do you infuse love into a plant, into something that people eat?
I love gardening. Gardening is one of my passions, and taking care of plants, it takes a lot of care, and my passion goes into it.
So when you are growing this thing, you are actually thinking about the people who will be buying it and how it's going to benefit them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. The people here on the farm, they work really hard in order to keep things going. A lot of work on the farm is done using small hand tools. We try not to use any machinery. Sometimes we will take out the tractor to do mowing. Sometimes things break down, so it's a lot of hard work, and I think you wouldn't do it unless you love doing it, really. The produce definitely shows that, I think.
You know, there's a controversy about traditionally grown and organically grown. Do you think it's actually better for you nutritionally when it's organically grown without pesticides? And in what ways?
You know, I don't know on a scientific level really what's happening, but my philosophy is for sure the garden is filled with lots of life. I see so many different insects in the garden, and I think that, you know, when produce is being eaten by a lot of different things, there's a lot of good stuff in it. And because we don't spray, because we pay attention to doing other methods of pest control, I think there's a lot of good nutrients in our food. And I think if you're spraying and killing things that eat it, or like genetically modifying things that can't eat it, you're kind of depleting the plant from the good stuff.
You know, one of the people here, I was in the booth, and I asked, is it organic? It wasn't your group, it was another group. And he took me over to some of the produce, and he showed me little holes in the leaves. And that's exactly what he said. He says, hey, if insects like this, if bugs like this, it's got to be pure, it's got to be good, it's got to be organically grown. And so that's exactly what you were saying here. How did you, Ricky Connolly, how did you get involved with this type of organization, Farm of Peace, and the idea of loving people with the food you give them?
I started working with plants. I worked at a botanical garden for a while, and I was going to school for horticulture. And a lot of the ways that I was trained was, you know, formal gardening techniques using a lot of herbicides and pesticides for maintaining like a more formal garden. And I kind of, you know, it was fun, it was great, and it was something new, but I kind of felt like I wasn't doing the right thing in a way. And so I was living in Jersey at the time, and I searched for a completely different side of horticulture, and that was, you know, getting into agriculture and organic farming, really. And I went online and I applied to different apprenticeship options, and I came out of the Farm of Peace and I met the managers, and they basically told me how they were farming and how they don't use any type of pesticides or herbicides, just very different methods of gardening than I was used to, and it felt really right, and here I am.
Now, it's not polite to ask a lady her age, but may I ask how old you are?
I'm 26 years old.
26 years old. Now, when you look around at your friends, when you were in college and when you're in the workforce, you look around at your friends, is this movement happening with younger people more than the older generation?
I think so, for sure. I think even younger, for sure. My experience is that people are becoming a lot more conscious of what they're eating, what they're doing to the earth. Really, you know, want something new besides, you know, all the stuff that they're taught or maybe they're grown up with, and you kind of want to expand and find something to believe in or to, you know, to feel good about, you know, what they're doing in their day-to-day, I guess. I know for sure a lot of my friends are really interested in learning about this stuff. They want to make a better impact in the world, you know, and one way to start is gardening organically, you know.
You mentioned that this is good for the people who eat it, and it's good for the plants. You say it's good for the earth. How is your type of gardening, without pesticides, without fertilizers that have chemicals in them, how is that good for the planet?
Oh, for sure. We're not combating it, really. We're kind of working with it. We're creating habitats where there's more life instead of none. You know what I mean? Like, it's a small farm, so we have several different varieties of cucumbers and several different varieties of brassicas, and so there's a lot of different plants going on in the garden. There's a lot of life. We're creating biodiversity, and we're not trying to combat it, and we're learning and working with the earth and what the natural cycles are, and, you know, just growing from that and feeding people from that instead of combating it in harmful ways, you know, that I feel personally are more harmful.
What do you see as your future and the future of this type of movement? Where is it going?
Oh, I think the amount of community, especially at a farmer's market, and for me personally, like, I've seen develop working on this farm. Like, I think small communities are going to definitely get together and create really cool things together. You know, I mean, growing up, like, I didn't have any sense of community, really. I mean, I had some friends here and there, but, you know, the farmer's market is, especially the one in Berkeley Springs, it's everyone comes together, everyone's talking about good things and sharing good ideas, and I think people are going to start working together more. That's what I've seen, because it's definitely happened for me.
Ricky Connolly from Farm of Peace here at the Berkeley Springs Farmers Market. Ricky, thank you for stopping by and talking to us.
Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Another vendor here at the Berkeley Springs, West Virginia Farmers Market is Dave Elliott. Dave, tell us a little bit about your farm and why you come here each week to sell directly to the public.
The farm is a small farm, about 11 acres, 7 of which is tillable. It's a good soil farm in a creek bottom, so we have plenty of water. The water, however, also draws plenty of raccoons and deer and groundhogs. We sell our stuff at 2 or 3 farmers markets. Berkeley Springs is a really good market, one of the best I've ever seen, because it has such a wide variety of customers. We have a lot of locals buy here, but Berkeley Springs is also a tourist destination. So I think probably a third of our customers are from out of town. Another third of our customers are probably people who own second homes here but actually live in the city, in Washington or Baltimore. So it's a good mix of customers. We have people who have very sophisticated culinary tastes and preferences, and then people who, God bless them, they just like squash and they just like their beans.
So, I've asked you this before. What is the difference between the way you grow vegetables and fruits and the way that when you buy them at the grocery store, which are, you know, very good food, what makes the difference in the way you do it? How do you do it differently?
I think the main difference probably is a result of scale. We grow in very small lots, so to speak. We're not growing beans or corn or squash by the acre. We're growing it more by the row foot. And as a result, I think we can be more attentive to the quality and the methods that we use to produce it. I don't want to be too terribly critical of big growers, but I think we can give stuff a little more TLC than the big guys. And we can also, I think, be a little more attuned to the environment. There is such a thing as microenvironments, microclimates, and we have many of those actually on our farm. Instead of trying to farm sort of on a one-size-fits-all scale, we know that in one part of the farm we need to have a little more of this input, another part of the farm maybe a little less, and we can gain that knowledge just through experience from year to year. We know what we need to do. So instead of just a blanket sort of application of fertilizer, for example, you know, we can be more specific about it. We can pinpoint it better.
Now, you mentioned that you grow squash, and it is excellent squash. What else do you bring to the market here?
We grow practically everything in the seed catalog with the exception of corn. As I mentioned, because of our proximity and to water and the fact that it's plentiful, we have a lot of deer who have a better eye for when corn is ready to eat than I do. And just about the time I think it's ready to harvest, the deer have made that decision too, and the night before. So they managed to get it before I do. So we grow everything from squash to tomatoes to beans, but we try to do some of the more unusual vegetables. Fennel, for example, which is a really, really nice vegetable. It tastes like licorice. We grow some unusual varieties of beans, some unusual varieties of lettuce, kale. Being a small farmer, too, you know, you can pretty much grow almost for your customers. We have a fellow who comes in here. He loves Toscano kale. So we try to grow Toscano kale for him. And as a result, actually, we've got some converts, some other people who want Toscano kale now. So there's seed catalogs, usually run 100 pages, and they've got at least maybe 15 or 20 varieties per page. So there's a lot of vegetables out there.
Now, you mentioned that a certain type of people of discriminating taste come here. Are you seeing any type of demographic here? Are they wealthy people? Are they middle-class people? Are they people that don't have a lot of income? What is your average customer here?
Yeah, well, there is definitely a link between income, sophistication, and preference. Haricot vert, for example, is the French filet green bean, is fairly pricey, even with us. We're selling it today for $6.75 a pound, as opposed to a typical green bean, which we call grandma beans. They can go for, you know, $3 a pound. The difference is that the haricot vert, the French bean, is very small. It's very thin, not very long, 4 or 5 inches, and it takes a lot of them to make a pound, as opposed to sort of a typical green bean. Probably takes twice as many of, you know, beans. But we find that they do have a much better flavor. They're very tender. They're very sweet. The bean inside the shell is very small. It's tiny compared to a regular bean. And so that just sort of fits some people's preference. I like them better myself, to tell you the truth, but I can't afford to eat my own beans. I have to eat the grandma beans.
Oh, my goodness. Now, when you finish, at the end of the day, when you close up shop and you put everything back in your truck and you head home, how do you feel about what you did that day? What is it about being here and doing what you do and selling to the people you sell to that benefits you personally?
Well, it's interesting. My markets come at the end of the week. And by the time the last of the markets is over, I'm really exhausted. But instead of being, you know, ready just to go home and sleep for 12 hours, I actually feel sort of recharged and sort of re-enthused, because you realize just from your customers that what you're doing is important. You have a direct connection to them personally. I mean, you're helping feed them, you know, and they appreciate it. And that's, I think, really rewarding. I mean, I think it must be akin to, say, what a school teacher feels, you know, when he or she is successful in teaching somebody something that's really important. Arithmetic, for example, adding and subtracting, which to me is an accomplishment. I wasn't born to farming. I mean, I was a city kid. I mean, a small town kid, not a country kid. But you're engaging people directly. I mean, it's really something that's so elemental. I think there's probably nothing more basic than food, you know, the exchange of food. I don't want to romanticize farming or emotionalize it too much, but your relationship with your customer really is a genuine relationship. It's not like passing a hamburger to them through the window of a fast food shop. You know, you're actually giving them something that's wholesome, nutritious, and they appreciate.
Well, Dave Elliott is a vendor at the Berkeley Springs, West Virginia Farmers Market. Dave, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us today.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break from our visit to the farmer's market. And when we come back, let's find out how the town itself benefits from having this program taking place here. We know it helps the people. We know it helps the planet. What does it do for the town? We'll find that out on our return, so everybody stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your Biblical Prescription for Life. A patient recently asked me about natural ways to help his heart. Well, I referred him to Daniel 1 verses 12, where it says, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us give them vegetables to eat and water to drink." Well, vegetables in that setting was that which is sown. The word is called zeroem. Well, you know the rest of the story. These fellows were 10 times smarter than the king's men. Esselstyn in the Journal of American Family Practice in 2015 did a study that showed that people that eat greens and plant-based nutritions have healthier hearts, less cardiovascular events. So our biblical prescription for life today is Zeroim, Z-E-R-O-I-M, eat that which is sown. For more information, visit our website, that's heartwiseministries.org.
Have you ever wondered about your place on this earth, why you were put here, and what you can do to make a difference? Well, I've got good news. You can become a healer. I'm Nick Evanson, production manager at Heartwise Ministries, inviting you to help spread the news that optimum health is possible. Your family, friends, and coworkers don't have to be as sick as they are. There's information available to help them stop chronic disease in its tracks. Diabetes, heart disease, obesity, hypertension, they've all met their match. Your support of this ministry allows thousands to learn how to defeat these destructive enemies. Working in partnership with Heartwise Ministries also brings changes into your life, and believe me, people will notice. Your example becomes a healing light in a very dark and sick world. Take a moment and visit our website at heartwiseministries.org and add your support. Become a leader and share the gift that truly keeps on giving. Thank you.
Farmers markets are usually attached to a town or a city, and my little market here in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, is no different. I've asked the prior market manager, Amy Middlecoff, to share some insights on how this colorful and health-promoting operation affects the town and the community. Amy, what are the benefits of a small town like this hosting a weekly farmers market?
The benefits are helping promote local agriculture and build businesses in your community, as well as keeping the dollars local in the community, so that each dollar you spend, I think about 80% goes right back into your town.
So when we have this here on a Sunday morning, this is local money being spent locally that will be helping people locally.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, you mentioned before we started the interview that you're also involved in education here in Morgan County and in helping improve the health of students somehow. How's that work?
I'm an AmeriCorps member with the West Virginia Department of Education, the Office of Child Nutrition, and I serve locally in Morgan County with the Morgan County Association for Food and Farms. What I do is I help local farmers sell their products into the school. We aggregate sales to meet the demand and try to find specialty crops, fruits and vegetables to sell to the schools. We also build school gardens here in the community and help students learn about how food's produced, where their food comes from, and how to get involved with local food.
Now, is that unique? Are you doing something that nobody else is doing, or are you part of a trend that farmers markets are connected in that way to communities?
I think it's part of a trend. I do. I think that it's starting to grow. There's 13 service members here in West Virginia right now, but overall nationally, I think it's a trend that we're starting to try to connect our local businesses, our local ag businesses, with our schools and get deeper into the communities.
Have you met with any resistance to introducing healthier food into cafeterias? I know that sometimes parents don't like change and they want to know where the food comes from. And when it comes from locally, they may not know exactly. It doesn't come in a package. It doesn't have a label on it. Have you met any kind of pushback on this?
We haven't had any pushback from parents. There are complications when you look at most farms in West Virginia, 90% are small family farms to meet the demand of local. You know, in our community, we've learned that we need 550 pounds of cantaloupe per week to meet the demand for our school children. And that's very hard for our farmers to meet. We did meet it 3 times last year, so 3 weeks they were able to do that. But it's a challenge being able to have a product on a scale that can meet the demand and also be packaged and presented with not as much requirement for cooking. And, you know, a lot of the schools don't have the old scratch cooking materials anymore. They have big steamers and things. So products that the schools are able to use from our local farms.
And again, tell me how this helps the community. I mean, we talk about local dollars and everything. How does it help the morale of a community and the morale of the town?
One of my favorite things to say is that our tax dollars are feeding our children. I mean, when you think about that your tax dollars are being spent to buy from your neighbor farms to feed your children, that's sustainable and that's agriculture and it's local and keeping it local. We're starting to build community gardens in the area to try to teach more, you know, more people about growing food. When I'm talking about food, I mean specialty crops, fruits and vegetables, not, you know, your row crops, but just trying to introduce people to use these unique varieties and learn how to cook with them.
How did you come to do this? I mean, what is your interest in healthy food and healthy plants and organics, as you're seeing a lot here on the street?
I grew up traveling up and down the East Coast with my mother, and my grandmother had a small farm here in West Virginia. And every summer I came here and was on that small farm. So after I finished college and came back home, I kind of found the farmer's market position and said, okay, one day a week, sure, let's try it out. I'll work for vegetables, you know. And it's changed my life, learning about actually where my food comes from and opening my eyes to it.
Amy Middlecoff, she is the prior market manager here at the Farmers Market in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Amy, thanks for stopping by and sharing with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I so enjoy shopping at my local Farmers Market each week, and I hope that you will take the time to discover if there's one near you. I think you'll enjoy the great food and sense of community that's waiting for you there. I have people ask me, does it really matter where you buy your fruits and vegetables? Isn't your local grocery store, filled with mostly conventionally grown produce, sufficient? In other words, is organically grown that much better than conventionally grown? According to our friend Dr. Michael Greger at nutritionfacts.org, it doesn't matter all that much nutritionally, other than an uptick when it comes to cancer-fighting antioxidants. Seems what the plant uses naturally to ward off bugs helps prevent cancer in humans who later consume the plant. That's cool. However, when it comes to safety and the potential harm that can be caused by exposure to pesticides and other chemical residue, organic is the only way to go. I look at it this way. When it comes to fruits and vegetables, there's good, better, and best. My local grocery store offers very, very good produce filled with disease-fighting phytochemicals and other powerful nutrients. If I can buy locally grown foods, that's even better, as being shipped great distances and experiencing forced ripening, which may happen to some produce, does lower nutrient potential. This doesn't happen to local produce. But if I can buy local produce that's organic, I've reached the very best level for taste and safety. That's where my farmer's market shines. Trust me, listener, until you've enjoyed locally grown, vine-ripened organic fruits and vegetables, you haven't enjoyed the full potential of nature's bounty. There's definitely a difference in taste. So, why not give it a try? Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with local farmers everywhere, inviting you to remain Heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.